let's face it, we're all institutionalized at school to become happy little taxpayers, but we're not taught how to problem solve the real estate marketplace at school, are we? We can't do, I don't know, year 10 elective how to become a renovator at high school. Welcome to the Urban Property Investor. I'm your host, Sam Saggers, here to help you crack the code of real estate wealth. Today's show is brought to you by me, and I have Cofoon. Yes, I have hay fever. And I tell you what, if I start sneezing through the show, I apologize because I've got a little snotty rag right next to me to powder my nose, but wow, the Cofoon is strong right now. In fact, today's show is not going to be a usual, regular, one-hour extravaganza because of the Cofoon. I don't think I can make it through the show without sneezing. It is so itchy. I've taken the tablets. I've taken the pills. So actually, today I wanted to do a much faster show. I think we'll be 20, 25, 30 minutes today. But I want to talk about a pretty serious topic, which I think most people suffer from when it comes to becoming a great property investor. I want to talk to you about anxiety. Yes, problem solving. Real estate's full of problems. The concept of being a property investor is to find a problem and solve it. That's really the purpose of the job of the property investor. But of course, for a lot of people, they don't want problems in their world. So becoming a property investor is just adding more problems to a bunch of problems they probably already have. So let's tackle that. Let's tackle that while I have Cofoon, because I don't think it's going to be the longer show, but it could be the best show we've ever done. We never know till we get to the end here at the Urban Property Investor. And welcome back, regulars. I hope you are doing well wherever you may be. I hope you do not have Cofoon because it's really ticking me off. And of course, if it's your first time tuning into the show, well, welcome back, or so welcome aboard, I should say. Play the show in double speed, get your life back. And of course, all the episodes I've done are lessons on real estate. So if hearing about anxiety doesn't rock your boat, hey, go back in time. Check out another program I've done, another podcast I've done. They're all lessons on real estate. In fact, I would say 95% of them are lessons on real estate rather than, for example, market updates. So feel free. There's a lot of golden nuggets back in past episodes. Go check them out. But as I alluded to in my introduction, really the job of a property investor is to solve problems. Once you get used to the idea that your role is a problem solver, property investment becomes a lot easier. And I think for a lot of people, there's this, dilemma that they're coming into an industry they don't know a hell of a lot about. They may have seen, you know, one or two things in their life already around property investment, but they're no skilled property investor. They might have read a book or listened to a podcast or been to a seminar. And really that's the level of knowledge they have around real estate. Let's face it, we're all institutionalized at school to become happy little taxpayers, but we're not taught how to problem solve the real estate marketplace at school, are we? We can't do, I don't know, year 10 elective how to become a renovator at high school. So we leave school really not understanding economics very well. We leave school for a lot of people not understanding the value behind money at all. And really when you put those two paradigms together, quite often for a lot of people coming into the real estate investment space, it's very, very daunting. Then you layer on the fact that most people have a lot of problems in their existing world, problem of paying rent, problem of paying existing mortgage, car problems, family problems, relationship problems, health problems, you name it. We've all got a background and we've all got problems. It's the reality of it. And really, most people often think they're the ones only with problems, but the reality is we all have problems. We all have money issues. We all have some sort of health thing we want to fix. We all have some sort of betterment that we want in a relationship. All of these things are the reality of a little thing called life. But then you bring those problems and you layer them on top of real estate, which is full of problems. And really, the job of a real estate investor is to not only solve holistically their life problems, but also the real estate problems which they will face as a property investor. And I always say this, you guys have heard this a million times, really, the biggest problem with being a property investor is the problem of buying time. When you buy an asset, you've got to see that asset actually grow and mature in value. And that is going to take time. Even at a pretty healthy 5% growth rate, it's going to take basically about 15 years for a property to go from one price to doubling in value. And again, for a lot of people, you layer all of the problems outside in their home life to a problem like that, then you get this misalignment. And for a lot of property investors, they start off enthusiastic, but really they end up going through a misalignment of really their goals to the problems they encounter along the way. And I've seen so many people cheat themselves out of big opportunities in real estate, walk away from great real estate because problems of the market. The market all of a sudden isn't growing. Real estate isn't going up in value. Real estate's going down in value. And all of a sudden, everyone starts to go, well, this isn't the problem I was looking for. I was only looking for real estate to go up in value. Eventually, over a long term, real estate's always going to go up in value, but there will be short term peaks and troughs through a cycle. It's just really the nature of real estate. And of course, there are all sorts of other problems you buy as a property investor. You buy tenants, they're human beings, they miss paying rent sometimes, they can abscond from paying rent, they can cause all sorts of problems which you need to solve. Problems of morality. One of the things I've recently had to go and do is kick out tenants who have lived in my properties for 10 years plus because the market rent is so much higher than their capacity to pay rent. That's a moral problem. I had to solve that problem. And of course, physically, property ages and has all sorts of trials and tribulations behind it, things to fix, which just, again, can create a lot of anxiety for people. There's lots of defects with real estate. There's lots of, ongoing maintenance with real estate. There are repairs, capital renovations to do in real estate. And for a lot of people in society, it's just too daunting to even consider. And of course, for a lot of Australians, they never become property owners or even property investors. Today, we've got a class of people just choosing to be renters, renting for their entire life so they don't have to deal with the problem. And again, problem solving is the game of being a real estate owner, a real estate investor, a real estate landlord. It's all problem solving. So the more you just embrace the fact that you're entering an asset class which is full of issues, then you should be okay. If you don't want issues, if you don't want problems, I would recommend other asset classes. The share market seems like a pretty good asset class. I've got shares. It has no problems. It's all digital. It's all on a computer screen. You click a button, you buy some shares, you go to sleep at night. There is really no involvement from you as the shareholder other than looking at the share price every now and then. So again, like when we sort of look at real estate, there's market problems, property condition problems, legal problems, financial problems, insurance problems, tenant problems. There's a lot to deal with. And the more you start to realize the game is problem solving, the better off you're going to be. Now, I often think the best real estate to buy is real estate which is problematic. You know, if you think about some of the problems that occur in real estate, you know, like developing is a problem-based industry. Like you are just full of problems. You know, to make money out of a development, you've got to deal with council, you've got to get development applications lodged, you've got to deal with builders, do building applications, you've got to deal with, you know, an array of real drama to be successful. But if you are the or have the ability to solve those problems, you can make a lot of money. Again, just simple buy and hold problems to solve is choosing the right asset, having the right model for growth, having the right cash flow come in. All of that is a model of problem solving. And I even think some of the best ways to instantly make money, sort of put some money into a deal, strike a deal, get a return on buying well. In the 4X growth plan, it's deal growth, you know, buying a discount. Why is it a discount? What's the problem with the property? Am I buying a problem or is there an opportunity there? Or building a property, you know, you've got to deal with builders, you've got to deal with council, you've got to deal with design teams. Building for profit is a strategy, but again, it will come across as a problem. Same with renovation, it's full of problems. You've got to lodge with council a development application, you've got to pay quite often a levy to council to even do your renovation. You've then got to work with sustainability guidelines to complete your renovation. Structurally, you've got to have the right team that can deliver upon what you're trying to do. So again, like strategies are just problems. They're just problems you've got to overcome. But again, for a lot of people, they don't end up doing strategies like renovation or building or amalgamation or subdivision or pre-construction because they are looking to ultimately avoid really a problem. And by avoiding a problem, sometimes you miss the gold. And we'll talk a little bit about that. Now, I always teach the three E's of anxiety. And I think the more you understand this, the better off you're going to be as a property investor. The more conviction you'll have as a property investor, the less cafoon you will have as a property investor. The first anxiety is economic anxiety. Now, when you think about it, like people save a long time to end up becoming a property investor. They save thousands of dollars putting away money, hard-earned money, to become a property investor. There's going to be economic anxiety around that concept. Or people are borrowing money from a property that they own, getting in more debt, taking on more debt, more leverage to end up somewhere better down the track. And again, like for property investors, like it is a game of leverage. So you have to get in more debt. And ultimately, as we know, there are kind of three phases to being a property investor: the acquisition phase, which is a debt accumulation phase. Then there's the consolidation phase, which is the debt repayment stage. And then there's the end phase or the legacy phase, which is living off the income. But getting in debt for people makes them anxious. Let's face it, who wants another $1 million home loan? You know, not that many people are out there actually going, oh, I'll just take another million and another million and another million because of economic anxiety. Will that work out the way it's said to work out? And of course, for a lot of property investors, trust is really part of the puzzle. You know, can they trust what they're doing? Do they have trust in themselves? Do they have trust in a team? Do they even have a team? Will the team they have make the money or lose the money? Will they economically get a result from the real estate they're buying? Will the real estate they choose economically improve quickly? Will it improve slowly? Will they go bankrupt? Will the team that they're working with to renovate go bankrupt? This is all the economic anxiety which people have when they choose to be a property investor. And again, I think you've just got to acknowledge it's going to exist. But again, I think the solution is building a team. Great mortgage broker who can help you with your economic anxiety. Great property manager that can help you with your economic anxiety around where rents are at, where the resale market's at. A great property investor agent who can help you understand the property market. A great strategist, a great advisor, a great planner, a great financial planner, a great lawyer, an accountant. All of that is the concept of removing economic anxiety. The next anxiety, which is very common for property investors, is emotional anxiety. Feeling silly. Real estate market is just full of jargon. And for a lot of people, it makes them feel like they, you know, missed a year at school or something. Because when property investment people talk, we have a language, a secret language. We talk like we talk French or Greek or Chinese. It's a different language. We use terminology like land to asset ratio, LVRs, PAYG variations. We talk about, profit to loss ratio. We talk about, net yields, gross yields. All of that stuff is jargon. And again, for a lot of property investors or people wanting to be property investors, it's makes them feel emotionally anxious. And when you don't understand something well enough, you're not going to participate in doing it. And I think we've all, you know, been along to the karate class and looked at the class and gone, holy crap, everyone here is a black belt. I'm going to feel emotionally stupid by coming along here and being involved, right? It's human nature. And again, really to overcome feeling silly, listen to the podcast, read the book, go to the class, do the seminar. Involve yourself around people who've done this stuff before. Learn from people who've walked in the pathway of property success. You'll get to understand that you'll learn as much as you can about the art form. And then what will happen is you won't end up just buying one property or retreating from buying one property. You can end up in a place where you own multiple assets all paying you income, which is really the goal of being a property investor. And again, I think sometimes even doing a property for the first time, doing a build, doing a renovation, if you don't know, you kind of have this emotional anxiety. And of course, because of that emotional anxiety, what happens is people end up doing property deals which have no investment value because they don't want to feel emotionally insecure, for example, building a home or renovating a home. So they just avoid it altogether. And again, that probably flows nicely onto the third level of anxiety, which is effort anxiety. You know, doing things requires effort. Energy is really the name of the game. And of course, property investment is an effort-based industry. Again, if you don't want to put any effort in, there's some great assets that require no effort. The share market, equities, is a great effortless industry. You just buy some shares and, you know, 18 years later, the index would have doubled and you would have doubled your money. Requires very little effort. Real estate requires a lot of effort, cognitive effort. You have to read loan documents. You have to read contracts for sale. You have to read building agreements. You have to learn jargon. You need to listen in to events, podcasts, books. It requires a lot of cognitive learning. And again, one of the reasons I think a lot of people don't end up getting the fruits of real estate investment is they just don't cognitively learn. And of course, real estate creates a lot of physical effort, you know, signing documents, running tax returns, having spreadsheets, physically updating your balance sheet, so to speak, is an effort that property investors need to apply. And again, you need to put in some hours if you're going to be a property investor. And all of that is a pain in the ass. And again, like, why a lot of people cheat themselves out of becoming wealthy is a pain in the ass. It's work. It's a lot of effort to get to the other side. And again, even some of the strategies which, you know, where we have mentioned things like renovation, there's a lot of effort. There's a lot of effort involved in doing that. Building a home, a new home, a lot of effort involved in doing that. Developing, a lot of effort. Subdivision, amalgamation, effort, effort, effort. So what happens is people are economically put in a position where they're uncertain. Emotionally, they're uncertain. And then they don't know where they should put their effort in. And because of outside pressures, quite often they're drawn back from the real estate world and the effort goes to non-dollar productive, you know, things. And it means financially later in life, people don't end up where they want to be because they didn't work out how to go through economic problems, emotional problems, and effort problems associated with real estate. And so you think about it, right? Like, you want to be a property investor, you're going to be asked to do something which is, in fact, a pain in the ass, effort-wise, that you, for the most part, probably don't understand. And you're probably sensing it as economically dangerous. So unless you do something to solve all of that, you're going to live in a space where ultimately you're pretty uncomfortable to make moves. And I've met so many people that have, you know, just frozen when it comes to being a property investor because they've never set up the right team. They've never educated themselves on property investment. And they don't put the effort in. And they ask questions from the sidelines because they are emotionally feeling a bit silly. I've got a lot of good friends that ask me, and I can see them, the emotional anxiety they're going through when they're asking me, oh, just could you tell me a little bit about this and tell me about that? But they won't push themselves to a place outside of their comfort zone. When you think about the statistics, right, there's like 20,000 people or something which own five or more properties here in Australia. It's 20,000 people who've pushed themselves through borrowing more money, getting into more debt, and ultimately dealing with the emotional anxiety of that, the economic anxiety of that, and the effort anxiety of that. So doing something new is often, you know, going to create anxiety in people. And I call it anxiety A. Most people who are doing something new will look at it and then choose the less fearful option. And so a classic example I see all the time is someone can borrow $1 million. And $1 million would buy them such a beautiful property. But the $1 million of debt, the repayment of $1 million, and the ability for a property at $1 million to pay a certain rent, quite often means they feel very anxious. So they avoid that something that's going to economically make them feel more anxious, and they choose a $600,000 property. And of course, the difference between $1 million property and a $600,000 property is quite often chalk and cheese. Certainly from a performance, return on investment, total return, capital growth, all of these things, you often see people will choose a less fearful option. There's a lot of money to be made in building and renovating and pre-construction and development and so forth, but that requires a lot of cognitive effort. That requires a lot of economic effort. That requires effort. And so what do people do? They choose a less fearful option, a property up the street from where they grew up from. Buying in a marketplace which is foreign to you requires a lot of economic uncertainty. It requires a lot of emotional uncertainty. It requires a lot of effort to buy a property, in a place you're not used to. All of that is going to make people at a point very anxious. And again, for a lot of people, the way they deal with that anxiety is to choose a least fearful option. Least fearful is not necessarily more profitable. And this, again, is one of the disconnects out in the real estate economy. Of course, anxiety B is people will just remove themselves from the entire thing, remove themselves from the ecosystem. They basically have a look under the hood, go, holy cow, I've got to take on debt. I've got to repay debt. I've got to have tenants. I've got to have landlord insurance. I've got to deal with small-scale renovations. I've got to do PAYG variations on my basically wage. I've got to do end-of-year tax returns for this property. I've got to keep, bookkeeping notes. I've got to deal with property managers, accountants, brokers, and, of course, go, wow, that's a lot of problems to deal with. I'm not going to be part of that. And, of course, that makes them very anxious, so they completely run the other way and avoid the situation, become a property investor avoider. And so the main sort of lesson here, and again, because of my cafoon, I'm doing a short show today. You can blame the cafoon for my 27 minutes and 18 seconds. But I think it's an important lesson that if we can overcome economic anxiety, our emotional anxiety, and put some effort in, we're going to do very well. My solution is for economic anxiety, learn to trust a great team, build a team. Emotional anxiety, feeling silly that you don't understand things, learn to understand them. Put some effort into understanding the jargon, the language, read the books, do the podcasts, go to the events, go to the programs, the mentoring, the coaching, the amount of good intel out there to teach you to make you feel less anxious is really part of the puzzle. Today, today's fast-paced digital world, you should be learning as much as you can, but that's going to require effort, so you've got to put the cognitive effort in, and of course, the physical effort as well, because real estate is a pain in the ass. All right, maybe that should be today's title of the show. Real estate is a pain in the ass. Thanks, folks. Talk soon. Thanks for tuning in to the Urban Property Investor. To never miss an episode, make sure you subscribe to the podcast on your favorite app or on YouTube. And I would love it if you could give the show a rating and share it with your friends and family. In between episodes, you can always keep in touch with me by connecting on social media over Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn. Until we meet again on the next episode of the Urban Property Investor, take care and bye for now.